Hey, lovely fans. This is another live stream rip from my Instagram. Today, actually, I made this live stream rip. So this is from Monday, February 4th. If you want to watch me live, follow me over at instagram.com/GabrielMayersNYC. And you can interact with me and harass me if you like. All right. Bye and enjoy the stream rip.
I forgot to get the music ready. Hold on. Fuck. Hold on. Where is it? There we go. Oh, shit. There we go. Hold on. War Pigs. You know it. If you've been leaving shitty, poorly thought out comments on my Instagram since the start of Black History Month, you will not get acknowledgement in the stream. I just want you to know that right off the bat. Especially since you're wearing a mask and using a private account. It's just cowardice. Do you guys know this one? Sabbath. Thank you, Sabbath. This was the jam back in the day, kids. Gathered in their masses. I'm a horrible singer for this.
Just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction.
All right, we're doing it again. We're here. Thank you for joining me, seven of you so far. Stevie, W. Ace, Peter Blades, Verena, Sad, Majo, Ostia, Slevrab, welcome. All right, happy Monday to all of you, and hey, Gemma Bays. Happy Monday to all of you. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing all right now that I'm full of Mickey D's. First news right off the bat is Liam Neeson's Liam Neeson's admission. This is how clueless white guys are getting, where they're like exposing themselves. Because they don't understand the implications of what they're saying, I think it's what I've been talking about lately. Like, white guys don't understand that they're acting in typical white guy fashion right now, and they're just doing very much white guy things that are extremely ignorant and hopefully just gonna ruin a fucking career completely. I feel like Liam Neeson's like pretty big within the black community. I don't know if you heard about the Liam. Hey, DJ Silva, NYC, what's up? How you doing? And Cachorro. So Liam Neeson, if you haven't heard, revealed, I think this is in an interview that was released yesterday or today, that a friend, someone close to him, told him that they were raped by a black man. And then for a week or whatever he said, a couple of weeks, a month, whatever amount of time he said he was roaming the streets hoping that, hoping to find some black bastard, his words, hoping some black bastard would start something with him so he could kill him. So Liam Neeson revealed that basically, you know, apparently he thought he was telling a story about just like animal urge and how he overcame his animal urge, and didn't realize that he was actually talking about this very, very old feeling that white dudes walk around with, which is, since Woodrow Wilson and was it Birth of a Nation, this idea that black men are just sort of waiting in the wings to rape their white women. And, you know, I'm just imagining Liam Neeson flying into a, you know, what if it had been a white man? What if, what would he have done? Would he have roamed the streets waiting for a white bastard to bump into him so he could kill him? Or was this part of an underlying feeling that he could take his feelings out on any random black man that happened to cross his path? I'm pretty good, actually. I'm doing pretty well. It's been a... Where my white bro flakes at? They're here. They're here. By the way, white bro flakes, I know you're out there. You gotta come up with an argument that's better or more constructed. If you've heard my podcast and you've been reading the posts and you've been watching the stories, then surely you must have more to say than that guy's racist. It doesn't really sound thoughtful. It doesn't really make your case that much. I've created a lot of material that establishes my point from several different angles, mostly from a humorous, entertaining one, because as you can hear from my last podcast, this is a very frustrating issue, and I try not to take it that seriously, because there will be more bro flakes coming through to just sort of like add in their two cents, like it matters. You need to learn how to write music. Yeah, learn it. Learn how to write music. But yeah, that news about Liam Neeson was pretty interesting. I think the most interesting part is just how he didn't realize he was saying anything racist. What could be racist about him saying that he heard that a friend of his was raped by a black guy and then he wandered around for weeks hoping to run into a black guy so he could kill him? What would be racist about that? The lack of insight on the part of white dudes at this point in time is like crazy. It's crazy to imagine, because it's really only white men that are, and R. Kelly, that are getting exposed every so often, and yet they're not like having the insight to be like, okay, let me hang back a little bit, let me like chill. Let me like kind of feel stuff out. But Liam Neeson's like volunteering this information because he's like, I guess I don't need a career. Good luck with Taken 4, bruh. You write a lot of spoken word. Well, you don't need to learn how to write music. There's plenty of apps that can sort of like take care of the writing music part for you. You just stick your word with the music. Firepunk says, well, you know, if you read grand alt-right debater Ben Shapiro's book True Allegiance, you'll find that all black folks are selling coke and killing honky pigs. I don't know what that's about. Hey, Bonnie Hunt Singer, excuse me. Go listen to my podcast if you haven't listened to it. I didn't actually mention the Liam Neeson stuff. I just think that's just interesting. It's Black History Month, babies, and people, white men, are choosing a really odd way to celebrate it. There was actually, okay, so Liam Neeson said that thing, and then this black guy goes, this is on Twitter, this black guy goes, see, this is why I hate black people. Y'all didn't read the whole article. And you know, I think Desus Nice asked, like, what information do we miss? He's like, Liam Neeson learned from this. He learned from his homicidal racist rage. It didn't seem like he even understood that it was something racist. Seems like he just equated it with like, oh, I was just kind of angry at that moment. I had this idea of like, you know, the next Taken would be like, you know, someone would call and be like, we have your daughter. And he'd be like, well, listen, I have a very special set of... Wait, are you a black guy? Oh, then I'm going to find you and I'm going to use my very special set of skills to kill. Because it's like, it's so crazy. It's such a crazy, crazy thing. Hi from down under. My peeps. No, hi. Hi, Jennifer Peterson. Some black people suck. Most white people suck. I wouldn't even say that. Because again, or for the first time, what I'm not looking to do I think this is what the attempt on the Liam Neeson has entered the chat. Has he? I'm not trying to brand all white people as anything. I'm trying to just talk about how white supremacy and white privilege works, and also the people who uphold it, and also the difference between people who happen to be white and people who are white people. And these people usually get offended when anybody talks about whiteness, because it asks them to acknowledge their own privilege, and that being white is something different than being non-white, which they have a really hard time with. You know, I've been called, I mean, something I've had to acknowledge with my therapist is that, you know, these people are really just one or two people, and they're not really forming a constructive argument. And the most frustrating thing for me, I think, is just that it's kind of like a blanket kind of disapproval. I'm getting a lot of unfollows. I checked, it was about 115 unfollows since last week, which, you know, out of 8,000 followers, that's not that many. I think really I could be more offensive to the white moderate if I wanted to be, but I don't necessarily think that's my point. I think a lot of the things I'm saying are really entry level obvious. Like, if you've watched Dear White People on Netflix, you probably haven't. If you're a bro flake, you probably wouldn't even go near anything named anything like that, because it might help you see outside your white privileged world. Then the stuff that I'm saying isn't gonna be really that, like, inflammatory, you know? Racism is to be fought globally as long as humans exist. Asians can be racist. Any race can be racist. Except Asians don't have a hundreds of years old system of Asian supremacy in which to empower their racism. So Asian racism is, like, mostly a reaction to white supremacy. I mean, like, seriously, right now in the chat, bring up an example of Asian racism. Bring it up. Like a significant, like a way that Asian racism has significantly affected the lives of non-Asian people. Seriously. I don't think all racism is created equal, and I don't think all races have an opportunity for their racism to be empowered the way white people have. I think that's why it's important that white people listen to the voices of people of color, because I think there's just, like, different ways that white people have been taught to ignore the voices of people of color. Like, ideas like all people can be racist, or there were bad people on both sides. This many sides argument. This ignores the huge white supremacist population in America alone, and also the rise of nationalism globally. This is not just in America that, like, Trump's coming up. There's, what's his name, Doug Ford in Canada. There's nationalism's rising all over the place. This is what we've, I mean, Brexit is part of this. Anyway, I'm gonna play some, the Japanese in World War II. So, what do you mean the Japanese in World War II? I think people say Asians mock black people. Yeah, but is that significantly affecting the lives of black people? There aren't enough Asians in power anywhere, to affect enough, let's say Asians hate Puerto Ricans, there aren't enough Asians in power anywhere to have that actually affect anything. Do you know what I mean? It's not part of a culture. But there's a culture that's hundreds of years old established around white supremacy. Hence the KKK, the fucking Nazis, and the current regime we have. It's not an Asian racist regime. The people marching through Charlottesville chanting, "Jews will not replace us," weren't Asians. I know that it may seem like the right thing to do to be like, "Hey, Gabe's talking about white supremacy, but also Asians." Asians aren't really on my radar in terms of, like, You know, like, yeah, we gotta stamp out that Asian racism. It's becoming a real problem. For sure, Asians are, I'm for sure some Asians are racist or hate other groups, but I'm more talking about systemic racism. More talking about things like the Rodney King beating, the Charlottesville march, the birther thing having to do with Barack Obama. This is mostly racism coming in tidal waves from white people. This isn't Asian people doing this. I think the Asian people thing or the racism coming from other races is mostly kind of like a tactic to have us not actually address white supremacy, get Donald Trump out of office, and go back to, you know, having fucking Wall Street people in there. All right, I'm gonna play a song of mine just to start with. I just changed my strings, so forgive me. How do I play that? This is called Fake It. I wrote this.
To say they're just nice sounding lies, things I've heard along the way. They make it sound like I've got it figured. I can't fake it just to try and fit in anymore. People gather and they stare and say, I say I just like to sing, and I don't mind whether it's here or there. I can fake it just to try and fit in anymore. Am I not a person just like you? Seems like empathy's gone out of style, but I know the times will turn around. I can't fake it just to try and fit in anymore. I can't fake it just to try and fit in anymore.
Alright, that's called Fake It. You can download that every fucking way. I see there's a big discussion going on in the comments. So I don't buy the concept that white racism is the great Satan when there are hundreds of Satans in numerous subcultures, historically speaking. You lost me a little bit there. Let's see. Also, yeah, the we are all one race argument isn't going to solve anything, especially when, you know, people like Liam Neeson feel empowered to kill people just because they're black. And it's just kind of like, oh, but I got over it. You know, for a week I was walking around and I was like, let one of these black bastards bump into me and I'd just kill him. But then I got over it. And the lesson I learned there was, you know, Liam, you really need to calm down. It's like, come on. Anyway, I can't go back through all of that. I mean, a lot of the comments on my other posts, I mean, get me up to speed on what Liam said. Oh, Liam said someone close to him was raped by a black man. He found out, and then he took to the streets for about a week, wandering around, hoping he would run into a black bastard, hoping one of those black bastards would run into him, and he would take them. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just, look it up yourself. That's what the news is for. Yeah, but I think, you know, like my song says, fake it. Like, it's a lot easier for me. I don't know. I'm not, the Democratic Party didn't, like, fucking pay me. Like, I'm not a George Soros conspiracy. You know what I mean? The Democratic Party didn't pay me to say what I'm saying. This is, I've grown up in Brooklyn, New York, you know, in New York City, this big melting pot of a city. I've interacted with a lot of different types of people. I've especially, you know, hung around a lot of white people in my youth, as you can hear from my perfect diction. And that's part of the reason why I feel the need and like a responsibility and the right to criticize white people. I think y'all been up to some fuckery for a while. And if you can't admit to that, then you're probably up to some fuckery still. Or you're probably ignorant to fuckery that's going on, and that's part of your privilege. And I think the funniest thing to me is just that, like, I'm such like a white sounding black guy. I'm playing like the Beatles or whatever, I'm playing Nirvana and stuff like that. And people are coming to my page and they're being like, oh, you hate white people. It's like, how does that happen? How does that happen? How do you figure that? Based on what I've said, how does it figure to you that I'm sort of just like kind of blanket hating white people and I don't have a very specific thing that I'm saying? Could it possibly be that you view me as an ignorant savage and that no matter what I said, you would assume that I was just speaking out of pure ignorance? Or could it be possibly that your ears are so clogged with, I don't know, reruns of Friends and Frasier that you can't hear anything beyond that? Anything beyond the white fantasy of privilege? I'm in the white... I don't know, I thought of David Bowie suddenly, but I'm in the white fantasy of privilege. I think the thing that I've had to do lately is just really consult my heroes, you know? I've just thought about each one of them. I've thought about Jim Morrison. I've thought about Jimi Hendrix. I've thought about John Lennon. I've thought about Bob Dylan. I've thought about Janis Joplin. Who else is my hero? Kurt Cobain. I've thought about all my heroes, and I thought about if they would support what I'm saying. And I do think they would support what I'm saying. And I think that they would say, like, oh, you're not really even going hard enough. Because I have been like overly concerned with the amount of unfollows I'm getting and almost like feeling like really hurt by it instead of seeing it as like, you know, those are the people that need to go. Though the, you know, I mean, Martin Luther King addressed this in his letter from Birmingham jail. A big problem with the civil rights movement was the white moderate who said, you know, I agree with where you're coming from, but like the way you say it and like the timing, and they want to like orchestrate and dictate when we actually take back our freedom and our rights and, you know, stop the police from killing us and things like that. Mm.
mayonnaise. Product of Kuna. Like, why do black people have to be known for improper dictionary? And I mean, they taught Victoria. They taught I remember when I was growing up, they had just stopped teaching Ebonics. Do you know what I mean? That was like a thing that I remember. This wasn't in New York, but there were like some schools where they were like, oh, let's teach black. I addressed this in a podcast, I think, or in the last stream. There were schools where they're like, oh, let's just teach black people Ebonics. And this is coming off a long tradition of, let's not even teach black people anything. Let's not even teach these niggers to read. Let's just read the Bible to them and not let them read it. You know, so that's where it comes from, where like, education was seen as like a non-black virtue. I feel like diction isn't necessarily correlated with race, and I hate when people say that. I feel you. Yeah, he said he was waiting for black. Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's correlated with race. I think diction's correlated with intelligence. I think if you know the words, you know how to say them right, and you want to say them right. But I think also there's like a way that you talk within the hood that is not the way that you talk when you go to court, you know? And it's not the way that you talk when you're talking to a police officer if you're smart. And I think that's just like a real ass deal. I didn't make that up. You know, I would like to be a part of changing this culture of like anti-intellectualism in the black community, but that can really only happen when I actually feel free to express myself, because I think I spent most of 2018 not streaming, not putting out stuff, not writing anything really, and not kind of, you know, using my brain really, using my brain fully to its full expression, just kind of just being a singing, dancing monkey. But you can, I mean, if you're really smart, there's only so much of that you can do before you start feeling like you're just wasting away. I'm more than just a nice voice, but I mean, all the unfollows tell me that that's not what other people think and that's not what other people appreciate. But I am getting a lot of DMs and stuff and text messages from people who do think I'm more than a nice voice, and I really appreciate that. Let me see. Liam, Caden Arts, what's up? Love your music, by the way. I heard about you through Najaloose Official. Naja's great. Humans in general have all sinned. I don't understand this whole in general thing, because I think it's kind of trying to distract from the point of everything I've been talking about for the past few days. But that's fine. Some people aren't really ready to acknowledge whiteness as a thing. I mean, I don't think I was really ready to acknowledge like male privilege as a thing, or like first world privilege as a thing. But we have to acknowledge these things. Actually, I don't think it's that hard. I think it's like, you know, I don't think it's that hard to be empathetic, honestly. I feel like it's more natural to be empathetic. Anybody else leave you a voicemail? No! No one else left me a voicemail. I don't think I've checked, actually. But I don't think so. Let's see. Let's see if I got any voicemails. By the way, if you'd like to leave me a voicemail, all you have to do is dial the number... I don't have Google Voice on this side. All you have to do is dial the number 443-457-8091. That's 443-457-8091. Leave me a message. I'd love to hear your messages. Flowerpunk left me a message. Really appreciated it. My mouth is very juicy. Jennifer Peterson, visit Down Under. We would love and appreciate you. I hope you would. Australians are weird. I like Australians sometimes. They're very party. They're very always party. Not all of them, but it's a very party place. That's the impression I get from it. Might not actually be that. But like, when I always ask like Australians are always like surprised by racism. Now, what about your Aboriginal people? What happened there? And they're always like, I don't know. They left, you know what I mean? That's Jim Jefferies' joke. That's Jim Jefferies' joke about Australians
and their sort of like blindness about race. They're like, oh, all this racism you have in America. It's like, what happened to the Aboriginal people who originally were on your island?
I don't know.
All right. Margot Robbie is so hot. Anyway, that's the place I'm gonna leave you off with. I mean, yeah, it's not just old people. This is like white supremacy is like kind of like how they teach young boys to kind of treat women a certain way from a very early age. So it's not just gonna be like, oh, once all the Harvey Weinsteins and R. Kelly's die out, then it's just full reign for women. Ah, it's pussy power all day long. It's like, no, this is like, I feel like it's probably gonna be proven in the future to be almost like a genetic thing that's passed down. The subjugation of women to men. So therefore, I think the subjugation of non-white people to white people, by the way, the definition of whiteness has expanded over the years. At one point, Irish people weren't considered white. I think at one point, German people weren't considered to be white because their skin, I believe Benjamin Franklin said, was not white, but rather sort of ruddy. You know, white people invented racism. And it's like totally a stupid, weird thing. If you can, I mean, the idea that at some point, like, Irish people weren't white enough to be white. It's like, who's gonna be whiter than an Irish person? You're not gonna let Irish people have whiteness out the gate? Come on, man. Yeah, also, this is another thing. I made a podcast about this. It's called, what's it called? White Privilege for White Dummies, which I was... So it's like kind of a play on the whole Four Dummies series of books, because I understand a lot of people don't even understand the basic concept of white privilege, or even the concept of privilege as a word. I didn't even know people could be that stupid. Like, I think the dumbest comment I read was like, you know, and the reason why I felt like it was genuinely dumb, because the guy was like, I have never felt privileged. I have never felt white privilege a day in my life. And it's like, for you to not even think that, okay, maybe I have this thing, maybe there's just been this thing present throughout my whole life that I can't see because I'm only inside my life. If you don't even have that concept now, bro, then I don't know if I can really explain to you, like, you know, systemic racism and stuff like that. I don't know if I can explain to you how, like, the whole birther thing is like a racist thing that came up because Obama's black. I don't even know how, you know, I can't even really explain stuff to you, son. Let's play more music. This one's, So I'm gonna start introing this song like this, just for legal reasons. This song is an homage to songs, to protest songs of, you know, the protest songs of the 60s, like Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, or, you know, what's it called? I think that's a Phil Oak song. I won't go marching anymore. This is an homage to these type of protest songs. This one's called Philando. Those new strings. Philando Castile was flashed and pulled over to the side of the road in St. Paul, Minnesota. He followed the rules and did what cops told him. Then Philando Castile was unjustly murdered. Philando Castile had a babe of just 4 years. He and a mother were soon to be married. He told the officer of his registered weapon, and the cop drew quick with 7 bullets in him. What can we do right?
this world that's straight, male and white. Even if you do everything right, you might still end up like Philando. Philando's daughter was in the backseat when they shot him, and after he was dead, the other officer came and got her, put her in the squad car with the mother in handcuffs, while the other officer radioed in for backup. Bonnie, you can Google this. What can we do right? In this world that's straight, male and white, even if you do everything right. Yeah, I recommend YouTube. You might still end up like Philando. Philando Castile was bleeding and dying in the backseat of a squad car. His family was crying. Police arriving on the scene rushed to comfort the officers. Ignored the child and the mother, didn't hate to him. Okay. Ignored the child and the mother, didn't take their handcuffs off of her. They ignored the car and the bleeding man in it, and neglected to check Philando's pulse for several minutes. What can we do right? In this world that's straight, male and white, even if you do everything right. I'd still end up like Philando. You might still end up like Philando. Might still end up like Philando.
I mean, if you're, here's the thing about that. Bonnie, when we talk about like white privilege and the kind of like ignorance that's under white privilege, is like you can say like I've been in love with black men, you know, since I was born, but still you don't understand that the concept of reverse racism is actually a racist argument to disprove systemic racism. You know, it's like here's how you can when you brought up the Asian thing, I brought this up also. Where's the history of racism? Where's the history of reverse racism? Where is it? Where's the history of white people being denied opportunities by black people because of the because of their whiteness? We live in a Eurocentric, white-centric system. That don't exist. I mean, that's not to say you won't get robbed walking through the hood white at 3 a.m, that'll certainly happen to you. I think you'd also be surprised how often that doesn't happen, because nobody wants to cash that kind of charge, because the courts aren't designed to protect us. They're designed to protect you. They're designed to protect white women, because that's the white man's precious resource, his white woman. And I mean, you should be resentful of that, for sure. And definitely go Google reverse racism. And there's like tons, like I went Googling a little bit and YouTubing a little bit. There's tons of resources about like, you know, experiences that black people have talking to white people about race, and the things that white people say over and over. There's like these several talking points that white people use. Well, there's racists of every race. This is the same as Trump's many sides argument. This is one and the same argument. It's a deflection, and not a very clever one, since we're able to like point to these resources, say like, oh, this is a common argument that's made. Yeah, we're not claiming you can't be mistreated and be white. We're not claiming that. We're just claiming that your mistreatment isn't part of a system of suppression and oppression of your peoples based on the color of their skin, going back to slavery in Africa. There was a genocide in the Congo of over 1 million Congolese. And this is part of what Heart of Darkness, which is what shit was that that fucking Vietnam movie that we all know with Marlon Brando in it, where they're using like fucking the Doors. Damn, what's the name of that movie? But anyway, that movie was based on Heart of Darkness, and Heart of Darkness, I'd never read the book, but I know that is about just how they used all of this Congolese slave labor to like terraform the Congo, and they were just like, yeah, fuck these niggers, and they did the same thing with the Chinese to build the railroads and to dig mines and things like that. Non-white people have been subjugated to the will of white people for centuries, and it really just slowed around 1960 when a couple of rough and tumble Negroes decided to have lunch at a counter they weren't supposed to. And I don't know, I'll do my due diligence and research on that story, because I really feel that that is a significant moment in the civil rights history, because it's like they chose to sit at a whites only counter, and they could have just as easily not. And I'm sure a lot of people told them, you know, this isn't the way to do it. This isn't the way to protest. You know, you're not supposed to sit there. You should protest from your own counter. And I feel like that's sort of what I'm doing now. Like I'm verbally sitting at the whites only counter. I'm like talking out of black turn, if you will. Anywho. Wow, going all the way back to the Egyptians. Man. Bonnie, chill, because you're it's just sounding silly what you're doing, and it's like, well, I don't know, I can't save people from, you know, if you want to kind of make yourself an example, then that's up to you, and that's really what I've been seeing in the comments. You know, like, if someone wants to make themselves an example of like the kind of typical things that white people say when race is brought up, then, like, you know, that's up to you. I've already said there's YouTube videos out there that'll keep you from saying stuff like this, but if you want to keep doing it, that's up to you. You're in a public forum. People can read what you're saying, and I'm not telling them how to judge you. It's just like they're educated and they understand the dog whistling that is happening under your speech. This is a great example of why I shouldn't care about the unfollows that I've been getting. So I got 122 unfollows in the past week, and like I joked about in my story, I need 1,000 this month before I can get my glow in the dark Black Panther poster. You know, I got to keep up with that quota, but I think, you know, I blame myself partially. I think that's something maybe I haven't talked about so much. I'm this white appealing black musician. I'm the perfect token black musician. I'm non-threatening. I'm dark-skinned. I like all your, you know, I love the Beatles. I love John Lennon. I love Kurt Cobain. I love Janis Joplin. I love The Strokes. I love Radiohead. I love all these white bands, white musicians, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Could I be any more of a Friends fan? And I love Him Yim. I'm a big fan of the Bro Code, And also, I love Always Sunny with Philadelphia. I love all these white things, so I'm like the perfect token black musician because I'm just so non-threatening to white people. And so I think I invite a lot of that, like, kind of, like, moderate white person who's, like, not quite racist, but not quite liberal enough to understand racism and systemic racism. And so I think I'm getting the unfollows that I'm getting that I feel, it hurts to get unfollowed. It doesn't feel good because you never know why exactly. It could be that they don't like my haircut, for all I know. But it's kind of necessary that I'm gonna let the comments go on and I'm gonna do my talking thing. It's kind of necessary that I get these unfollows because I think I got the follows disingenuously, you know? I remember one time, this guy who was a Black Panther heard me playing Philando, and he was like, you should just be playing that song on repeat. And I was like, you know, maybe you're right. And I did start playing Philando a lot more, and I didn't keep up with it, because, you know, Philando is a polarizing kind of song. The chorus is a bitter pill, you know, what can we do right in this world that's straight, male, and white? I think that ruffles a lot of feathers because I specifically called out a type of person, straight, male, white. I love it, though. Oh, I love it. I got a special feeling in my stomach when I said that. I think it's so important, what I'm saying. And I think that's, like, kind of what's bothering these bro flakes. Thank you for coining. I don't know if you coined that term, Flower Punk, but that's a great term. I think that's what bothers these bro flakes. It's because white privilege is supposed to, it like, puffs you up falsely with this false significance. And then you see someone with actual significance who doesn't have that privilege, and you're like, oh, shut him up, tear him down. I mean, you know, I think it's so funny that during Black History Month, white dudes are like, during Black History Month, I need to fight racism. It's this black guy that I gotta fight. He's the racist. Let me fight him. Let me ignore the regime that's in office right now, and let me fight this black guy online, because that is... I don't know who you are, and I'm not inviting you into... I do not approve your request to be in my live video, because it's all about moi right now. I'm going to play a song. Gosh, I wish I could remember exactly who asked me to write this song. This is about an activist who actually lived, and someone asked me to write this song. Let me tune this up again. These are new strings. Someone asked me to write this song about this activist's actual life, and so I wrote it, because that's what I do. Let me tune this. Second. Also, something I've been doing lately is, like, instead of, like, tiring myself out by, like, sort of responding to every detractor, I've been letting the fans handle it, and the fans have been handling it completely. There was a time when the Nazis were marching through Charlottesville, I was making a similar big stink like I am now, and a black friend of mine he has a white wife and a mixed kid, was so trying to shut me down, and that was like a super, I don't even know if I have a point really with saying this, I just kind of need to get it out. That was like a super hard point for me, because it's like an old friend was like choosing to like publicly take a stance against me because he felt that I was like this great evil that needed to be combated. I was this divisive voice that was separating people, and, you know, as Nazis are marching through Charlottesville, he felt like I was the problem. Some people deserve what comes to them. I'll tell you that. I tell you, that friend, that old friend, that old scumbag, shout out to you, Earl. Whenever I feel kind of tired in the morning, and I feel lethargic, and I feel like I don't have the energy to do what I need to do, go out there and play or make the good work, I think about that friend, and I get filled with a murderous rage, and that gets me up out of bed. So thank you for that. That works better than a cup of coffee. But yeah, it be your own niggas, man. The cool thing about white supremacy is, like, anybody could support it, you know? Like, in Django, Samuel Jackson's character, you know, he played the character of the house nigger. That's what that friend was. He was like, I don't like the way you're talking. You know, meanwhile, his wife's parents are Trump supporters.
Oh,
guess if that's a surprise. I was during the march in Nazis are marching through Charlottesville. I'm talking about white privilege, white supremacy. He's trying to shut me down. And guess if his step family are Trump supporters. So fucking obvious. But that's okay. It's been like 2 or 3. Okay, cool. Why are you doing that? I'm gonna let you do that for a little bit more. And then see if just putting attention, I mean, you want attention, so you got it, oh please. You got it. What are you gonna do with it now that you have attention? Anything useful? Nah, thought so. All right, well. Boop. Bye. It's the internet. That kid's a racist. He's trying to shut me down. Nah, it's not that serious. Okay, so, I'm fascinated by that guy Sammy Grass, man, because he's just like, it's been like days of him commenting on my post, and he still hasn't come together with a cohesive point beyond this guy's saying racist comment after racist comment. What about what I'm saying is racist? It's fine to disagree, but like, let's have an actual discussion. All you're doing is trying to attack my character and brand me as a racist, which actually just makes you look like a crazy person. It's like, I mean, do you think people are gonna buy that? That I'm a racist? Like, what? How? When? In what manner? By talking about white privilege and white supremacy and providing people with various resources on the subject, making humorous points about it? Or are you just like an offended machine? I'm offended by what you have to say about white people. There's nothing. I think this was Sammy Grass who said that. Are you saying there's something about white people that prevents them from laughing at things that are interesting? It's like, stop setting me up for the funniest joke ever. Working in Chicago when Fred Hampton died. He was assassinated by the Sheriff's Department and the FBI. She was working on his Rainbow Coalition when they took his life back in 1969. She had seen the march from Selma on the TV screen. empathize very heavily with Dr. King's dream. The United States felt like it was bursting at the seams back in 1963. The walls of a narrow world came tumbling down. She heard the riots and the protests going on downtown. Picket sign carrying people gathered all around. The whole world is watching now. It was abundantly clear something had to change. Strange kind of people who say the things ain't strange. The world's run wild by the morally deranged. Who wants it that way? They say she's crazy, but that seems absurd. Can't be like other people who consider themselves pure. Like those rich ladies acting all demure when they hear that people suffer. So she took to the streets in her walking shoes, left a bag behind with those suburban blues. Everybody was talking when they heard the news. They're probably still talking too. I don't have a part for this. Thank you, Boom Bap. Flower Punk, you always lose everybody. I did a fun experiment live me where I asked the billions of neo-confeds if on there if they knew Alexander Stevens. I don't know him, and I don't know the Cornerstone speech. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's the direction of the new album, you know. You know what I think, man? They want a black guy singing Bob Dylan, but they don't want a black Bob Dylan, because a black Bob Dylan would say black Bob Dylan things. They want a black guy singing John Lennon, but they don't want a black John Lennon, because that would be, you know, a black John Lennon saying black John Lennon things, and that I think is very dangerous to them. And by them, I just mean, you know, the system that runs things, and systems of control and power that run things, systems of privilege mostly. Alexander Stevens is the only vice president of the Confederacy, and the cornerstone speech is Stevens' speech where he said white supremacy is the cornerstone of the Confeds. Ah, sounds great. Yeah, I'm Gabe, you're original enough that you're finding your audience. I think so. I hope so. I think it'll take time, and I think I'm very impatient, and I'm trying to take advantage of what I've been able to do in the subway, though. I think that's been my main kind of focus, and it's paid off. Like, in 2018, I did just focus on doing the subway thing, and I was able to do amazing things in the subway, just in terms of, like, making a living off of the motherfucker and not starving to death. There's 1 minute and 30 seconds remaining, so I'm gonna say my goodbyes. Let's turn on some music. Let's see. Gabe, stop it! Okay. Yeah, how about this one, right? This is how we're all feeling nowadays during this administration. As Bonnie said, I am finding my audience. I'm getting a lot of unfollows lately. I am worried about it, but I'm not too worried about it, because I trust that everyone that's unfollowing didn't need to be following me.
everyone that's following me here, I'm really happy you're following me. I'm hoping that you'll go the extra mile and share this stream, share my podcast, share my post, tell people about me. The word of mouth is how this is going to grow. It's not going to grow off of some big, white guy company deciding, hey, I like this revolutionary nigger over here and I want him to be on TV. That's not going to happen. We can't count on that. Like, McDonald's isn't going to sponsor me. It has to be the people who really believe in what I'm doing putting me on. So thank you. Oh boy, wasn't that a fantastic live stream rip? I hope it was. You can follow me on Instagram.com/GabrielMayersNYC, where I go live almost daily. Or you can follow me on Twitter.com/GabrielMayers. Please remember to rate and review this on iTunes if you haven't, or if you're listening to on one of those other inferior podcast listening apps. Make sure to share on Twitter and Instagram and let people know, because it's word of mouth that grows this thing, babies. It's word of mouth that grows it. Thank you and goodbye.